I want you to picture a scenario for a second. Just imagine you are entirely offline.
Like completely off the grid.
Right, completely off the grid. There is no phone in your pocket. There's no Wi-Fi router anywhere in sight. And you have absolutely zero cell service bars.
Which is, you know, a pretty rare feeling these days.
It really is. You are totally disconnected from the cloud. And yet, the smartwatch strapped to your wrist can fluently translate a foreign language in real time.
Yeah.
You can analyze the subtle nuances of your sleep patterns to proactively predict your stress levels for the upcoming afternoon.
Which is wild.
And it can dynamically coach you through a run based on real-time biometric feedback. I mean, it sounds like science fiction. Or at least like one of those concept videos you see from 5 years in the future.
Right, the ones that never actually come out.
Exactly. But as of this week, that is suddenly our reality.
It's a profound shift in consumer electronics. We are looking at a fundamental transition away from devices that just collect data toward devices that actually understand it completely on their own.
And that distinction is exactly the mission of our deep dive today. We are breaking down an industry-shaking announcement from earlier this week. So on March 2nd, 2026, at the Mobile World Congress,
MWC.
Right, MWC in Barcelona. Qualcomm took the stage and unveiled the Snapdragon Wear Elite. And our sources today are a stack of fresh technical excerpts and on-the-ground reporting directly from that announcement.
Fresh off the press.
Yeah. And our goal here is to figure out if we are truly entering the era of the wrist AI computer, but without getting, you know, totally overwhelmed by the tech jargon.
Keep it accessible.
Exactly. And to set the stakes right out of the gate, there's a quote from Tech and Analysis that I think captures the mood of the entire tech industry right now. They wrote, "Snapdragon Wear Elite is a turning point in wearables history."
Yeah, and I have to say, the industry hype is entirely validated here. For the longest time, smartwatches have essentially operated as just external displays.
Right, glorified remote controls for our smartphones.
Exactly. They collected your heart rate, sent it to the phone sent it to a server in the cloud processed it, and then beamed an answer all the way back to your wrist.
A huge round trip.
Right. What we are seeing with this Qualcomm announcement is the death of that cloud dependency for wearables. We are moving into an era of independent, local edge computing where the heavy processing happens right there on your body.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because the actual silicon making this possible is staggering, but it's also incredibly dense. Let's start with the physical chip itself. Mm. Qualcomm has managed to build a 3-nanometer processor.
Specifically using the TSMC N3E process.
Yes, the N3E process. Now, I know 3-nanometer sounds like marketing jargon, but this is the exact same underlying manufacturing tech used in absolute powerhouse flagship phones. We're talking about the iPhone 15 Pro and the Snapdragon 8 Elite.
The heavy hitters.
Right. How do you even squeeze that immense architectural capability onto a piece of silicon tiny enough to sit on a wrist? And why is that specific size so crucial?
Well, shrinking that architecture down is arguably the greatest engineering feat of this decade. When we talk about a 3-nanometer process, we are talking about the distance between the microscopic transistors on the chip. They are packed incredibly close together. When the distance between them is shorter, data travels faster, which obviously gives you more power. But more importantly, it requires significantly less electrical energy to move that data.
Less energy means less heat, right?
Exactly. It directly results in less heat generation. When you are building a device that is strapped directly to sensitive human skin for 24 hours a day, managing heat dissipation is absolutely critical. You can't exactly put a cooling fan in a watch.
No, you really can't. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
So the smaller the architecture, the cooler it runs. Mm. And the performance jumps over the previous generation, the W5 Plus Gen 1, are massive.
Huge leaps.
They are claiming a CPU that is 5 times faster and a GPU, or graphics processor, that is 7 times faster. So practically speaking, what does a 7 times faster GPU actually look like for the person wearing the watch? Are we playing high-end video games on a 1-inch screen?
I mean, while you could theoretically run more complex games, the real benefit of that GPU jump is the user interface. Current smartwatches often suffer from these micro stutters when you swipe between complex apps.
Oh, I hate that.
Right. Or they limit the visual complexity of watch faces just to save processing power. A 7x jump means developers can put fully interactive 3D topographical maps right on your wrist for hiking.
Right.
It means butter smooth 60 frames per second animations that rival the fluidity of your smartphone screen. It basically removes the friction of using the device.
I love the sound of that friction disappearing.
But
whenever we talk about massive power upgrades, my immediate thought goes to battery life.
Of course.
Qualcomm says the baseline battery efficiency is 30% better, and they've introduced fast charging that hits a 50% charge in just 10 minutes.
Which is incredibly fast.
It sounds phenomenal. You forget to charge it, throw it on the dock before a shower, and you're good to go. But is a 30% baseline improvement going to hold up if this watch is constantly running complex computations?
That is the million-dollar question, and it brings us to the most crucial specification of this entire announcement. The CPU and the GPU are impressive, but the true game changer, the thing that redefines the wearable category, is the NPU.
The neural processing unit.
Exactly. Qualcomm didn't just put a simple NPU in there for basic step counting. The Snapdragon Wear Elite features a dual setup. There's a main NPU for heavy lifting and an ENPU.
An efficient NPU.
Right, an efficient NPU meant for lighter background tasks so it doesn't constantly drain that battery. Combined, they achieve 10 TOPS.
10 trillion operations per second on a watch. Just hearing that number out loud is wild.
It really is.
But let's ground that for a second. For someone who isn't building computers for a living, what does 10 TOPS actually mean for their daily life?
The best way to understand the so what of 10 TOPS is to look at what it allows the watch to hold. It means this watch has the localized brain power to run artificial intelligence models containing 2 billion parameters.
2 billion.
2 billion. Think of parameters like the synapses in a human brain. A simple calculator has zero synapses. It just follows a rigid rule. A machine with 2 billion synapses has enough localized brain power to understand context, nuance, and language.
Without connecting to the internet.
Exactly. It does this entirely locally. The data never leaves your device. No phone connection required. No cloud processing required. The AI lives securely on your wrist.
Here's where it gets really interesting, because numbers on a spec sheet are one thing, but Qualcomm actually proved this on stage. I was geeking out over the live demos they ran at MWC because they brought these abstract parameters into the real world.
Their demos were incredibly compelling.
Let's walk through the four major ones they showed. I want to start with the live translation, because this looked like pure magic. A Qualcomm representative stood on stage, completely disconnected from the internet, and spoke a phrase in Persian. They said, "Hello, I'm from Iran," in Persian.
Right.
In under a second, the watch translated that aloud into English, and then immediately translated into Spanish. "Hola, soy de Iran." Less than a second. How is that possible without hitting a server?
That near instantaneous speed is the direct result of edge computing. We've all had that frustrating moment where you ask your current smart assistant to set a simple timer and it just spins a little loading wheel before saying, "I'm having trouble connecting to the internet."
Yeah.
That happens because it has to record your audio, beam it to a massive server farm in California, wait for the server to process it, and wait for the translation to bounce back down to the device.
It takes forever.
By eliminating the cloud, the latency essentially disappears. The translation becomes conversational, which is vital if you are actually trying to speak with someone in a foreign country.
It totally kills the loading wheel. That alone is a massive quality of life upgrade. And that seamlessness carried over into the second demo, the offline voice assistant.
Yes.
The rep asked the watch, "How many calories did I burn today?" The watch instantly responded, "You burned 12,235 calories today." But then the rep asked a follow-up contextual question, "How can I burn more?"
Which is a very human way to ask.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And the watch suggested running for 30 minutes or swimming for 15 minutes. It didn't just Google an article about burning calories. It actively generated advice based on the user's specific data.
Context is the dividing line between an old smartwatch and an AI computer. The NPU allows the watch to remember the first part of your conversation and apply it to the second part. It isn't just fetching data, it's inferring meaning.
Which leads right into the third demo, advanced health analysis. The watch read a user's sleep data and gave a highly specific breakdown. It noted the user slept exactly 6 hours and 23 minutes.
Calculated the sleep quality at 72%.
And registered that they woke up 3 times. But rather than just presenting a static graph that you have to interpret yourself, It proactively recommended avoiding screens 30 minutes before bed to improve that 72% metric. It's essentially acting like a personal health coach on your wrist.
The proactive nature of that advice is huge. And the final demo, context recognition, really tied it all together. The watch automatically activated exercise mode the moment the user started running, and the second they stopped, it switched to rest mode.
Without touching it.
Completely on its own, without a single tap from the user. If we synthesize what those four demos represent, we are looking at a system built entirely around frictionless interaction and ironclad privacy.
Privacy is a huge factor here.
It's everything. Health data is incredibly sensitive. Sleep patterns, stress levels, location data. People are rightfully hesitant to have that continuously uploaded to the cloud. Keeping all that data locally on the device, locked within that MPU, has enormous privacy implications. Ooh. To quote Qualcomm CEO Cristiano Amon directly from the event, he said, "This isn't just a watch anymore. It's an AI computer that's always with you, always listening, always learning."
Always listening, always learning. That is a powerful framing of what we're moving toward. But Qualcomm isn't operating in a vacuum here. They're supplying chips, not building the actual consumer watches.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we really have to look at the wearables arms race currently happening across the tech industry. How does the Snapdragon Wear Elite actually stack up against the heavyweights?
Right.
Let's look impartially at the NPU power. The new Snapdragon hits 10 TOPS. Over in the Apple ecosystem, their current flagship, the Apple Watch Series 10, operates at roughly 8 TOPS with somewhat limited local AI capabilities.
Okay, so a bit lower.
And Samsung's proprietary Exynos W1000 chip is sitting at about 6 TOPS.
So Qualcomm has genuinely taken the lead in raw, localized AI processing power. I saw that Apple gave a no comment regarding Qualcomm's announcement. It's pretty standard playbook for them, but why wouldn't Apple be pushing for 15 or 20 TOPS on the wrist right now? Is it just a hardware limitation?
It's more of a strategy difference. Apple prefers tight integration. They prioritize a vastly stronger overall software ecosystem and seamless communication with the iPhone. They don't typically play the brute force numbers game.
That makes sense.
Qualcomm, on the other hand, is supplying the entire Android army. They have to provide overwhelming raw hardware power so that dozens of different manufacturers can build diverse products on top of it.
And the Android side of the world is moving incredibly fast to adopt this. Samsung has already announced that their upcoming Galaxy Watch 8, launching in the summer of 2026, will utilize this Snapdragon Wear Elite.
Yeah, that was a big announcement.
TM Rowe, the head of Samsung's mobile division, promised it will deliver a real AI experience to users' wrists. Xiaomi is putting it right into their Watch 3 Pro. OPPO is integrating it into their Watch 4, running ColorOS Watch 5.
The whole ecosystem is jumping on it.
And perhaps most importantly for the longevity of this hardware, Google is eagerly working to add these new AI capabilities directly into the foundation of Wear OS.
The adoption rate is stunning, but the impact of this 3-nanometer architecture extends far beyond the wrist. This chip is so tiny and so powerful, it's going to find its way into a whole new wave of ambient computing devices.
Like what?
We are looking at the engine that will power next-generation AI pins, like the Humane AI pin, making them infinitely more capable without needing a tethered smartphone. We'll see it in smart pendants and advanced fitness bands.
And the leap in medical devices is what really caught my eye in the reporting. We are talking about things like continuous blood sugar monitors or real-time heart rate analyzers.
The implications for medical technology are truly life-altering. Imagine a continuous glucose monitor for a diabetic patient that doesn't just read current data, but uses the MPU to predict a severe sugar crash 45 minutes before it happens.
Wow.
Based on the patient's walking pace, stress levels, and heart rate. Having a localized neural network constantly analyzing biorhythms without any cloud latency could genuinely save lives by predicting cardiac events before the patient even feels a symptom.
So what does this all mean? I mean, listening to us map this out, it sounds like a perfect technological utopia. Frictionless translation, life-saving medical alerts, AI coaches. But we have to pump the brakes for a second.
Always.
There's always a catch when hardware is pushed this far, this fast. What are the actual roadblocks to this becoming an everyday reality for the average person?
This raises an important question, and it is vital we look at the reality check here because there are several significant hurdles. First and foremost is price.
It's always price.
Manufacturing a 3-nanometer processor is an incredibly expensive endeavor. TSMC's fabrication plants cost billions to build. That cost is invariably going to be passed down to the consumer. we're likely looking at these next-generation smartwatches jumping into the $400 to $600 price range as a baseline.
That is a hefty premium. Are average consumers genuinely going to be willing to pay laptop prices for a smartwatch? Or is this going to be gatekept for early tech adopters and hardcore biohackers for the first few years?
History tells us early adopters will pay the premium, but mainstream adoption will stall if the price doesn't eventually normalize. It's a massive psychological barrier. And the second major hurdle brings us back to something you touched on earlier, battery anxiety.
Right.
Yes, the baseline battery is better, but AI is inherently power hungry. The advertised battery life is roughly 2 days, but that assumes standard usage.
Just checking the time and getting notifications.
Exactly. If you are heavily utilizing the MPU, if the watch is constantly running complex live translations on a trip, proactively analyzing your environment and actively coaching your marathon training, that 2 day lifespan could drain incredibly fast.
So you might have a supercomputer on your wrist, but if it dies by 3 p.m., it's just a very expensive bracelet.
A nice looking bracelet, but yes.
Which points directly to the software challenge.
Mm-hmm.
The raw hardware is here, clearly. But Google's Wear OS needs some serious optimization to actually harness this power without burning a hole in your wrist or draining a battery by lunchtime.
Software catch-up is inevitably the hardest part of any major hardware leap. The silicon engineers are currently outpacing the software developers, but the final and perhaps most nuanced roadblock is privacy.
We talked about how local processing is better for that, though.
It is inherently safer because your data isn't sitting on a vulnerable cloud server somewhere. But the user still has to implicitly trust the physical hardware they are wearing. When a device is, to use the CEO's words, always listening, always learning, that requires a massive leap of faith from the consumer.
That is a really fair point. It's a psychological barrier as much as a technological one.
Mm-hmm.
For a lot of people, an always listening AI on their wrist is the ultimate convenience feature.
Mm-hmm.
For others, wearing a hot microphone that analyzes their every movement is a profound source of paranoia.
Absolutely.
It's going to take a lot of transparent marketing to win over the skeptics. Now, looking at all this raw power, the 10 TOPS, the 2 billion parameters, mm-hmm. It begs the ultimate question. Is this new watch finally going to replace your smartphone?
If we look at a direct comparison between the two devices, we get a very clear answer for the present moment. The Snapdragon Wear Elite, as impressive as it is, has 10 TOPS and runs 2 billion parameter models. If you look at a current flagship phone powered by the Snapdragon 8 Elite, that pocket device boasts 45 TOPS and can run complex AI models with over 7 billion parameters.
That's a huge difference.
The phone still has a massive advantage in raw computational horsepower, not to mention a much larger battery and a 6-plus-inch visual display for demanding tasks.
Right. So the verdict is, no, it's not going to replace your phone quite yet, especially for heavy, visually demanding tasks like editing a photo or reading a long document.
Not right now.
But, and this is a critical distinction, for specific, momentary actions, the watch is rapidly becoming the superior tool. For background health tracking, instant live translation, or just firing off a complex voice command while your hands are covered in flour in the kitchen, the watch is undeniably better.
Much better.
You don't have to wipe your hands, reach into your pocket, unlock a screen, and open an app. The friction is entirely gone.
And we have to remember, the Snapdragon Wear Elite is just the foundation. Qualcomm is already looking toward the 2027 horizon, and their next generation goals are staggering.
What are they aiming for?
They are aiming for 20 TOPS on the wrist, capable of running 5 billion parameter models locally. At that point, they envision complete smartphone independence. And they see this architecture moving beyond just watches and pendants, integrating fully into smart glasses, and even AI-woven clothing.
AI-woven clothing. The idea of a smart jacket communicating with the hub on your wrist really forces you to reevaluate what a wearable even is. So, to synthesize all of this for you listening, the core takeaway today is that the era of the smartwatch, just being a passive notification screen and a glorified step counter, is officially over.
It's completely done.
We are fundamentally shifting into an age where we are strapping localized, highly capable AI directly to our bodies.
It is a complete paradigm shift from passive data collection to active real-time intelligence. The device doesn't just record what you did in the past. It understands what you were doing in the present and anticipates what you will need in the future.
So the next time you glance down at your wrist to check the time or dismiss a text message, I want you to imagine wearing a supercomputer right there. A computer that doesn't need the internet, that understands your health, your stress, and your context better than you might understand it yourself.
It really reframes our relationship with technology. It moves from being a tool we use to a partner we wear.
And on that note, here is a final provocative thought for you to mull over on your own. If future generations of this chip, say hitting that 2027 goal of running massive 5 billion parameter models completely independently, can perfectly predict our daily needs based entirely on our physical vitals in real time, at what point does the smartwatch stop being an accessory to our phone and the smartphone starts becoming an optional accessory to our watch?
That is the multi-billion dollar question for the industry to figure out.
Thank you so much for joining us on this deep dive into the future of wearables. Keep questioning, keep learning, and we'll catch you on the next one.